coming to you live from the studios of the Clinch County News in Homerville, Georgia. It's the Behind the News podcast with Lynn Robbins and Blake Pittman.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Behind the News podcast. I'm Lynn Robbins, publisher of the Clinch County News, Atkinson County Citizen, Lanier County Advocate, and Eccles County Echo. I'm joined by Blake Pittman, the editor of the Atkinson County Citizen. We've got a lot of things going on in our communities we're going to talk about today. Number one is an arrest, or actually some more charges for a suspect in Atkinson County in that triple homicide of a couple of weeks ago. We'll talk about that and talk about the story that we had in Atkinson County Citizen about that. We also had another story about the principal at Atkinson County High School going and taking the superintendent's job. We'll talk about that, and also have an interview with Shane Miller, who was the principal for 5 years at Atkinson County High School. He was also previously principal in Clinch County. We'll talk to him about getting a superintendent's job over in Miller County. After that, we're going to talk about some other things, some local kids going on a Washington Youth Tour that's sponsored by Slash Pine EMC. We'll talk about Clinch Memorial Hospital and some things they have going on that were in the news this week. Clinch County High School graduate going to be the head coach at Ware County High School, their football team. We'll talk about that and have a whole lot more. We are sponsored, as usual, by the Shack Cafe in Pearson, Roberts Milling Company, and the Country Cabin Restaurant in Atkinson County, and Lutz Brown Pegler Manley Insurance in Homerville. We appreciate those people sponsoring the Behind the News podcast. If you see them or go to their businesses, tell them as well. And Blake Pittman, we also have our newest sponsor. Tell us about Rascals.
Rascals Bar and Grill is located on Highway 41 just outside of Lake Park, between Lake Park and Valdosta. They have a full kitchen that serves some of the best steak, seafood, chicken, hamburgers around the Valdosta Lowndes County area. They are open on Thursday nights from 5 p.m. until midnight, where they do a trivia night. They're open on Friday nights from 5 p.m. until 2 a.m., where they do karaoke all night long. And then they're open on Saturday night from 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. as well, where they have live bands. This Saturday night, they have Adam Wakefield in concert. Now, Adam Wakefield was the first runner-up on The Voice 2017 season. He was on Team Blake Shelton. So, once again, that's Rascals Bar and Grill on Highway 41 just outside of Lake Park.
Fun stuff going on at Rascals. We appreciate our sponsors, and we're going to get right back to our podcast after a word from our sponsors.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
Visit your local insurance folks at Lutz Brown Pigler and Manley in downtown Homerville, or give them a call at 487-5411.
Hello, boys and girls. Welcome back to the Behind the News podcast. I'm Lynn Robbins, joined by Blake Pittman, and we're going to start off with a story that was in the Atkinson County Citizen this week. Blake, tell us about new charges for Keontae Green.
Keontae Green is a 27-year-old, I'm sorry, is he 27? No, he's 25, excuse me. 25-year-old Alapa Hall resident. He's a former graduate of Atkinson County High School. He had been locked up previously for a charge of concealing a body or helping somebody conceal a body related to the deaths of Ronnie Wayne Hackle, Bobby Lynn Moore, and Mercedes Hackle. Happened a couple weeks ago. They found a car burning on the side of the road. You know, they said that the three people, they deemed them as missing subjects. Anyways, they made a couple of arrests, finally found some the bodies, and Green was he was arrested and charged for that. Well, this past week, the GBI dropped the hammer, if you will, on him, and they actually charged him with three charges of malice murder in that death. He'll be just like Jonathan Van, he'll have two in Atkinson County and one in Berrien County. They are both, you know, still in custody. I doubt they'll even set a bond on them in this. But that is, you know, that case is still ongoing. They still have not released a motive or anything that has happened, you know, just pending the investigation or whatever. So as soon as we have more information about that, we will post it on our Facebook page, have it in the Atkinson County Citizen, and have it here on the podcast.
Do we have any inkling if there'll be any more arrests in that?
Not as of now. We don't. If they have any other suspects, they're keeping a tight lid on it. Yeah, so as of now, Green and Jonathan Vann are the only two suspects they're looking at. If they have more, they're not talking about it right now.
Okay. Also in the Axon County Citizen, Blake, you had a story about Shane Miller, who the people in Homerville and in or Clinch County and Axon County know him well. He was principal over here at Clinch County at the elementary school for a while and then went to Axon County High School.
That's right. Yeah, he was principal of the middle school here for 3 years, and then he took the job in ATCO. He was in Atkinson County for 5 years as the principal of the high school. And I called him, actually got in contact with him yesterday because they're on spring break like we are this week. And he came into the office in Pearson about 10 o'clock this morning on his way to Colquitt, Georgia, to do some work over there. And we had a pretty good interview with him. And we're going to give you that interview right now. Good morning, listeners. This is Blake Pittman. I'm live here in the office of the Atkinson County Citizen in Pearson, Georgia. We have a special treat for you today. I have former principal of Atkinson County High School, new superintendent of Miller County School System, Shane Miller. Good morning, Shane. We appreciate you joining us this morning.
Good morning, Blake. Thank you for having me.
Just got a couple questions here for you, Shane. We ran a story on Front Page this week, you know, about you making the transition and all, and thought it would be a good idea to give you a chance. You know, it's always better to hear it from the horse's mouth than it is, you know, just read it in print. First of all, first question I got is, how does it feel to go from being a principal over one high school to being the man in charge over an entire school system?
Well, my wife and I have had several conversations about that, and you know, the approach that I'm taking at this point and accepting this position in the middle of the year was a little different than you would if you accepted it June 30th or July 1st, and you'd be in a little, not necessarily better predicament, but you would have time to lay some groundwork and meet people and kind of know what direction the school system is already in and where you want to go. So my approach right now is to basically continue to lead their system and kind of wrap this year up for the remainder of April and May, and then really hit the ground running on what our vision is going to be for that district. But it is a lot of weight. You know, you go from managing, for the most part, students are heavily involved at the principal level, and you go from pretty much managing students to almost just overseeing adults and the more strategic planning and the overall vision. So you're a little more disconnected from students, but there is certainly a weight on your shoulders in
yeah,
that
I can
respect.
Imagine that. That's leads me to another question I had later on down the interview. This is obviously, I mean, we've discussed this, you know, before, but this is the first in-depth time that we've had to sit down and talk about it. So since you're, if I make sure I understand you correctly, you're going ahead and starting the job in Miller County. So does that mean that you're officially done in ATCO, or can they still expect to see you around some through the remainder of the year?
Well, that's right. The board, Mr. Brown and the board here has been have graciously worked with me and the Miller County board and coming up with a start date. And they were in a situation where their superintendent was ready to retire. And so my last official day of principal was Friday. This past Friday week before spring break, I do plan on coming back for 3 days, one Friday in April, and then I'll also be leading the commencement for graduation on graduation night here in Pearson. And you know, the people and staff and students here in Pearson have been awesome for the last 5 years. I see every step you make in a career, building everlasting relationships and friends that'll last a lifetime, just as I still have many great friends and connections in Clinch County, where I was middle school principal there for 3 years. And I couldn't have, and I've said this in several interviews, that no matter where you end up in life, you couldn't do it by yourself. It's the people that's around you that's got you where you're at.
That's right. Well, just Shane, if you don't mind, tell us a little bit about your career so far, kind of when you got started, because, you know, as far as the public school system goes, you're at the apex now, and I'm sure you've worked your way up through. If you don't mind, tell the listeners a little bit more about, you know, who Shane Miller is, where he's come from, and that kind of thing.
Well, I've kind of come through the hard way. My mom and dad were hardworking people, middle class. Workers. My dad was a machine shop worker at Procter & Gamble, and my mom, she had several positions that she did growing up, and I played sports in high school, and it kind of just, several coaches in early on in my career got me turned on to what they were doing with kids, and so I knew immediately I wanted to be in education. So I took my first job in education many, many years ago. I was a paraprofessional. I started at the bottom. I was there 2 years in Moultrie. My former principal gave me an opportunity to come on board. And at that time, there wasn't really many male paraprofessionals. They were all females, and they needed a male there were two special ed students in wheelchairs, one with spina bifida and one with cerebral palsy. And I did that for 2 years, and it kind of really set the tone for me to really make up my mind that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my career. And so I went to school and I worked in the daytime and went to night school and took some time off and finally finished my degree. And my first position, teaching position, was at Randolph Clay High School. I came in at Randolph Clay, was a head baseball coach, and I taught some middle school courses and some high school courses. Was there 2 years when I got a call from a guy named Frank Vashaw, who was taking the new baseball job at Coffey High School, and he was looking for a pitching coach, and I was reluctant to accept that position and get a little closer to home. And of course, it was a bigger situation to be involved in. So I spent 5 really good years in Douglas at the high school. When my actual first year coming in, I taught at the elementary school level. I taught math and science, and then they moved me to the high school where I taught 4 more years. And from there, I went back to school to get my leadership degree and finished it while I was at Coffey High School. Got my master's in educational leadership. And at the end of that 5th year, Frank gets a call, and he's going home to North Gwinnett High School in Atlanta. He's from Atlanta, and a position came open as assistant principal in Wheeler County at the elementary school. And I felt like at that time it was, you know, time for me to start my leadership career. So I commuted one way there, one way back, when we had our girls were very small at the time, and ended up staying at Wheeler County for 4 years as their assistant principal, and really got turned on to administration there. And my next stop was Dr. Gail Hughes at the time was superintendent in Homerville, and they were looking for a principal at the middle school, and Randy Jones had been there and really done a great job. As I've been very fortunate just to come in and follow some great leaders. I never had to go in, and that's one thing about, and we could talk about this later, about the superintendent position. I've been fortunate to follow good people, and that's key, you know, timing and positioning yourself in a position so you can succeed. But Randy had done a great job, and I had a few contacts in Homerville. Cecil Barber was a good friend of mine, and really loved the atmosphere in that small community. And so we just put all our marbles in a bucket at that time. We were tired of moving, and moved to Homerville. I accepted the job as principal there at the middle school, and we bought a house there. And that was a great, great, phenomenal 3 years. I learned a lot about pride, about small communities, and what good football is, you know. And yeah. So I was there for 3 years, and in between my stops from Wheeler and Homerville, I did go back to school and got my another degree in curriculum and instructional management. So knew they just kind of wanted to keep going, you know, and man, we were able to do some real special things at the middle school while we was there. We had several accomplishments. And again, it was not nothing that I was doing. It was just the people that was around me at the time. You know, we had really, really good teachers and really good support staff, and some good things happened there. And Tim Cochran, who was the superintendent at the time, kind of noticed what we were doing at Clinch, and ended up in Pearson as our high school principal. And again, following a great leader, Dr. Al Pollard. I don't know if you know Al, but
know of him, yes.
He was actually running back years and years ago at University of Georgia, but he really put Atkinson County High School in a position that whoever came to follow him was going to be successful. And again, we've 5 years here was just amazing. And that's how I kind of ended up there.
Well, that, since you brought that up, I'm gonna let that lead into my next question. You know, you talk about, and of course in your position, it's all about the team that you have around you. When it comes to high schools around Georgia, the graduation rate is always the hot button. Did a little investigative work here. 2014, the grad rate in Atkinson County was 81.9%. 2015, it dropped a little bit to 80.8%. But since then, it has it's climbed. 2016, you were at 81.3%. 2017, you were at 87.0%. That was a 5.7% gain and put you at the top of the whole recent district.
That's right.
So far, the school board hasn't sent me anything on 2018, but I did a little digging. The grad rate for 2018 was actually 88.5% for Atkinson County. Out of 113 students in that graduating class, you had 100 graduate. The state graduation rate for this past year was only 81.6%.
That's right.
You know, I know it was a team effort, but what kind of things, you know, I see on your Facebook a lot and a lot of other correspondence from you, you always end it with students first. Every time I've seen you, you know, post something on Facebook or social media or anything of that nature, has that kind of been your philosophy to, you know, to get those graduation rates to that point?
It is, and I was asked this question in my interview as a superintendent. What are you doing different than everybody around you? And and my explanation to that board and to and anybody who asked me about graduation rate, everyone knows that I'm a big positive culture person. I believe in building a high energy, positive learning environment where students want to come to school. First of all, I learned early on in my high school principalship that you know, you ask any kid and they'll tell you school's boring. And so I really concentrated on the last 3 years as principal is building a culture that where kids want to come to school and looking at research that shows where kids have to think outside the box and teachers have to think outside the box. And we this past year really, I think, you know, was the epitome of what we were trying to do in Atkinson County. We took on a book study, Teach Like a Pirate. And basically what that book allowed or showed teachers was, you know, it doesn't, you know, kids want to be hands-on. It doesn't matter, you know, where you at. You know, we were able to see some classrooms go outside, do some sidewalk chalk with some of their math problems and do some things up in our hallways. And kids were really enjoying learning. And I think that's a culture it takes, you know, 2 to 3 years to build. But I think we've been really solid in doing that and building a culture where kids want to learn. And I think that's a instrumental part of our graduation rate being so high. And also the other part of that is allowing and putting things out there that kids want to do, as far as like we added cosmetology back in our CTAE program. We added welding back into our school CTA program. Things that, you know, we've been in a 15-year period where everybody's supposed to go to college. Well, the pendulum's swinging again. That we're finding out as a country and as a state that everybody's not going to go to college, and that's right. And we need those quality workers and we need those quality people in our communities to help our communities run and be successful. Right. So we've really put an emphasis on our CTA programs, and I think that's held on some of our students that may have dropped out. Well, they've got something that really they can use when they graduate, and that's kind of been the key on that.
Yeah, and I've noticed that CTA program they've won several awards in several different things. I'm constantly getting emails, which I love because, you know, the downside of the newspaper business is you put mugshots in the paper, you're always going to sell more papers, but it's kind of a negative take on this. I always love it to see stuff come in from the school, you know, with kids winning awards and kids doing this, and, you know, their parents like to see it too. I have the stats here, you know, going back to that, you know, you can obviously tell looking at the numbers that philosophy of making school fun is working, because back to the 2018 rates, you were one of only, let's see, there was one, two, it's like four schools that had a gain. Atkinson had 5.7, Bacon had 4.7% gain, Clinch had 0.7, and Ware had 4.7. The rest of them were posting losses. Tarrant County posted a 7.2% loss.
That's right. And I think we had the greatest gain in the recent district in
18. Yeah, you did. That district includes Atco, Bacon, Brantley, Tarrant, Clinch, Coffee, Pearson, Ware. You were at 5.7%. You were a whole percent above Bacon County. They were right, you know, the Bacon and Ware tied at 4.7. So obviously what you did here, it worked. So translating that into the superintendent's job, I know you're stepping in kind of at the tail end of the year here. Do you plan on taking some of that and implementing it in Miller County when you get there?
Most definitely. And the role of the superintendent, I think, is to not get people on the school bus and get them in the right seat. I think that's the biggest job of the superintendent, other than the finances and the operations and things of that sort. But the key is putting the personnel that you have in the right place and getting them to buy into the program, the process. And and that process, again, it's like I told the board, if you're wanting to hire someone to come in here and wave a magic wand, you might have the wrong guy, because my process my philosophy is it takes time. It's, if you look at a football program, you know, Clinch County just didn't come on the roadmap.
That's
football.
Right.
They've been there. They've bought into the program. The community's brought into that program, and they've seen ups and downs. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely want to take some of that approach to Miller. How much we can get done between April and May, I'm not sure, but I certainly want to start having some leadership retreats with our principals and our directors this summer.
Well, Shane, I'm going to give you the chance that a lot of people wish they have. Before we go, what would you like to say to the residents of Atkinson County and the people that have had their children come through school while you're there, and anybody else that's listening?
Well, It's been a great ride, and I can get emotional about this because we poured our hearts into it for 5 years, and I'd just like to say thank you to all those kids and the community for all the support, along with, you know, our neighbors over in Clinch, for getting me where I'm at today. I couldn't have done it with nobody else, so I want to thank them.
That's right. And we appreciate you coming in. I was thinking earlier, and I know this is neither here nor there, but it's kind of funny that Shane Miller from Colquitt County is now going to Colquitt, Georgia to be superintendent over Miller County. So you never know, that might be destiny there, Shane.
That's right.
We appreciate you coming in. You know, we wish you nothing but the best of luck, and I'm sure we will see you down the road somewhere.
Thank you, Blake, for all your support,
too. And congratulations, Shane.
Hello, boys and girls, and welcome back to the Behind the News podcast. I was in an interview that Blake Pittman had with Shane Miller, who's going to Miller County as the school superintendent. We wish him the best. Another story from education that was in the Clinch County News this week was about two students, and we're also going to have in the Eccles County Echo, is about two students chosen for the Washington Youth Tour. It's an annual tour that Slash Pine EMC gets two good students from around their area, and they go to Washington, D.C. for this great tour. Lindsey Strickland from Clinch County High School and Tristan Carter from Eccles County High School were the two chosen this year. Last year, I think it was two from Clinch County. I think it was Caleb Register and Kavajie Nixon, who are now seniors. Got to go. And that's a very good trip, a big honor for those kids, and a good thing that Slash Pine does for the kids in our area. So that's in this week's Clinch County News. Another Well, we'll get to that in a second. We, again, would like to thank our sponsors, Lutz Brown Pigler Manley Insurance, the Shack Cafe, Roberts Milling Company, and Country Cabin. And we're going to have a word from one of them right now.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Roberts Milling Company, your local feed and seed supplier on West Albany Avenue in Pearson, Georgia. It is also brought to you by the Shack Cafe, located at 74 West Albany Avenue in Pearson. The Shack is open from Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. They have a hot bar for breakfast and lunch, as well as burgers, fish, chicken, and steak all throughout the day. Also, for one of the best steaks around, check out the Country Cabin Restaurant, located at 879 Mary Batten Road in Pearson. They have the best steaks, chicken, and seafood around. They're open on Thursdays from 5 to 8:30 p.m. and Friday and Saturday from 5 to 9:30 p.m. Come out and see what it's all about.
Hello, lovely podcast people. This is Lynn Robbins, back with the Behind the News podcast, talking about news going on in Clinch, Atkinson, Eccles, and Lanier counties. This week, one bit of news, it was in the Clinch County News, we may have this in some other newspapers soon, is Clinch Memorial has started a medical stabilization program at the high school, hospital. It'd be interesting if they had it at the high school. But at the hospital, where people who have are taking the first step to alcohol and drug recovery, addiction recovery, come to the hospital, they get stabilized for a few days, and then they go on to whatever facility they're going to. And they've started that program at CMH, which is a good thing, because you know that hospital has had issues in the past.
That's right.
with money. I mean, because you know, like all rural hospitals, and so they're trying new and innovative ways to try to generate revenue, and this is one of them. So we have a story about that, and that program's director, Jamela Moorhead, who's from here in Homerville. And that's a good story about the hospital. Another one, and this is something that people in our community need to know about, is the hospital has moved its financial services and its human resources offices to a new location on North Church Street, more specifically at 380 North Church Street, which is where Dr. Sam Cabarrubias's old office is.
And Dr. Cabral's old office.
And Dr. Cabral's old office, yep. Exactly. And so they're moving that there to make room for other services, I guess, out at the CMH campus. So if you have to pay a bill or need to talk to somebody about a bill from Clinch Memorial or applying for a job, that is the new place to go. They moved there just yesterday, yesterday being Wednesday, April 3rd. We're recording this on Thursday, so that's something to be aware of for folks, not just anybody that utilizes Clinch Memorial Hospital. Another big thing came, Blake, today in the news was the Ware County Board of Education hired Jason Strickland as their head football coach. Jason is a 1993 graduate of Clinch County High School, had a lot of success as a head football coach in Lamar County, then Fitzgerald, and in the last 2 years at Pierce County, where I think they went 6-5 one year, 5-6, and then this past season, 2018, they went 13-1 and made the semifinals. And I think that's just a great coup for Ware County. Their head coach, Franklin Stevens, went to McEachern. And as we noted last week in our podcast, Stevens and Strickland keep following one another in one form or another, because when Jason Strickland left Lamar County to go to Fitzgerald, Franklin Stevens went and was Lamar's coach, replaced him. Then he went from Lamar, I guess, to Ware County, and now Jason will be following Franklin Stevens at Ware County. So we wish Jason and his folks the best at Ware County, and I'm sure Pierce County will find somebody good. But, boy, it's going to be hard to find somebody that's as good a high school football coach as Jason Strickland. He's a good one.
Yep, that's right. Them Clinch County boys.
Yep, I like that. Lanier County Advocate has some police news, actually Sheriff's Department news, on this week's front page. They made an arrest across the street from the high school, big marijuana bus, where three individuals were arrested. That's on the front page, along with another story about a traffic stop that led to arrests from two individuals on stolen gun and narcotics charges. And so some big crime news in Lanier County Advocate. Another piece of news from Lanier County. They have a new fitness center there, Anytime Fitness, which I believe is open anytime. And
I would hope so.
Yeah. And it's at its location right there next to Piggly Wiggly on the Valnosta Highway. And it's welcomes people to come by and get a membership. And so we have a little story about that as well in the Lanier County Advocate. And Blake, that's all I have. Is there anything else going on that that we need to talk about?
Yeah, before we go, why don't you tell us what Lynn's column's all about this week?
Lynn's column is about Barney Fife. Blake, you know who Barney Fife is, right?
Yep, I sure do.
Okay, because I was talking to somebody who was probably about 30 years old that works with my wife a while back, and she didn't know
who Barney Fife was,
didn't know, had never watched Andy Griffith's show, grew up somewhere not around here.
I feel like that's un-American to not know who Barney Fife is.
So I immediately went to work to making her an American, and I wrote down a number of episodes that she had to watch that are quintessential Andy Griffith episodes. Now, my column this week is about Barney Fife in particular and Don Knotts, the actor who played him. And it's about Billy Bob Thornton was being asked who he thought was the best actor of all time. Mm-hmm. And he said Don Knotts because of his characterization of Barney Fife from that show. And in my column, I write, what are the best five episodes? Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you don't know, if you did not know, and if you're listening to this and mm-hmm. you do not know who Barney Fife is, or you know, haven't watched the Andy Griffith Show. And when I say Andy Griffith Show, I mean in black and white, not in color.
Old Andy Griffith.
Yeah, that was only the five seasons when Barney was there. That's when you need to watch. And anyway, go watch these episodes. I give you the name of the episode, and it'll give you a good feeling of the character. And I think those are available on Netflix now. You can go and watch whatever episode you want. So yeah, that's what that's about. It's my gift to try to help mankind and find humor for people.
I feel like that should be on the citizenship test. They should give you pictures of actors and you should be able to name them, like Burt Reynolds as Smokey and the Bandit, yep, and Don Knotts as Barney Fife, and or the Incredible Mr. Limpet would suffice, you know, things of that nature. But I don't think they're on
I
there.
Really think, and I said this in the comment, I think there's about, in television history, there's probably five or six really great comic characters. I think Barney Fife's number one.
Should be, yeah.
I think Kramer from Seinfeld's somewhere in the top 10, maybe.
You got to put Gomer Pyle in there somewhere, man.
Well, Gomer Pyle was the lead, though. I'm talking about a guy like Fonzie from Happy Days. He wasn't the main character, but he ended up being the...
He should have been, anyways.
The big character, and I think, I don't know if Fonzie fits in that, but definitely Barney Fife is number one.
That's pretty well all I think we got this week, Lynn. Do want to mention really quickly, we have a very heated baseball game Tuesday for Clinch County fans. If you're not doing anything, Irwin County comes to town. That game is at Cecil Barber Field at 5:30, I think, Tuesday afternoon. So if you're not doing anything, come on out and support those Panthers, because it's going to be a good one.
And Clinch lost last night to Wilcox, so yep, they are tied with Irwin County now, I believe.
Yep, they are.
For that region lead, and that's very important, because we got about, what, 2 or 3 weeks left in the season,
yeah,
and Clinch County, well, whoever wins that region, you know, you get one of the top 4 or 5 seeds,
yep,
and if you do that, you stay away from the big dogs like Gordon Lee. So whoever gets that, and you know, Telfair was the one who got the great bracket last year, ended up playing in the state championship.
Yep.
And I'm sure that Clinch or some of those other teams want that as well. So yeah, Tuesday at Cecil Barber Field, and I believe Thursday, or maybe the next, I'll have to look that up, is Telfair, which is also a big baseball game for the Panthers. And let's see when that's going to be. So that's it for this week's Behind the News podcast. Again, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Lutz Brown Pigler Manly Insurance in Homerville, the Shack Cafe in Pearson, Country Cabin Restaurant in Axon County and Roberts Milling Company. And one more time, Blake, tell us about Rascals and what they got going on.
Yeah, Rascals Bar and Grill is located on Highway 41, just outside of Lake Park, between Lake Park and Valdosta. They're open on Thursdays from 5 p.m. until midnight, where they have a trivia night. They're open on Friday nights from 5 p.m. until 2 a.m., where they have karaoke all night. And on Saturdays, they're open from 5 p.m. to 2 a.m., where they have live band. This Saturday night, they have Adam Wakefield live in concert. Adam Wakefield was the runner-up on the 2017 season of The Voice. So that should be a good show at Rascals Bar and Grill. And Lynn, we play Telfair on the 12th at Telfair at 5:30.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate Rascals, appreciate our sponsors, and we appreciate you listening in this week and for the Behind the News podcast. Next week, we'll be going over the headlines from this area and giving you the lowdown on what's going on. And we appreciate you listening this week. Hopefully, you'll join us next week. For Blake Pittman, this is Lynn Robbins saying thank you for listening to Behind the News podcast. We'll see you next week.